Brother, do you know Kevin Kincaid from Crossing Broad?
I do not know him, no.
Yeah, he's just some...
Well, I know who he is.
Kevin Kincaid. I don't even know who that is. Anyway.
What's up, everybody? Is this a second podcast in the same week? No, not exactly, but we had Quinn Sullivan on Crossing Broadcast earlier in the week, doing the show with me and Pagan on there, and figured it would be worthy to just throw it up on the feed here so you guys could listen to it if you didn't listen to it over there. It's a little bit more of a generic interview since it's meant for a more casual 4-for-4 kind of audience, but some stuff in here that you might find interesting, so figured I would throw it up on the feed and you guys can enjoy it. All right, without further ado, here's the interview with Quinn Sullivan from Crossing Broadcast on Thursday.
All right, we are joined here by Quinn Sullivan, Philadelphia Union midfielder. Quinn, how's everything going? Appreciate you coming on. How's the 7 days that you got in between matches going?
Yeah, it's good. Thank you guys so much for having me. Excited to be on the podcast. Yeah, man, things are going well. We're in training today. Just finished up, so... You know, things are going well, just in prep for the new Leagues Cup, which would be a pretty fun experience.
Yeah, how are you getting ready for that? How are you getting the body back together? I mean, 7 days, I feel like, during the season, you don't really always get that, do you? Unless, like, you're in the Prem League and you guys do that whole transfer stuff and that crazy stuff. Like, 7 days feels crazy in between for seasons.
Yeah, it's a good little break for sure. We had a really busy week last week, so with the midweek game. So we got a couple, 2 days off, and now... You know, back to work, back to training, and just a normal prep leading up to the week. Four day build up, we call it. So,
yeah, it's just been a ton of games, man. I mean, you guys came in, you're playing Champions League. You had flights to El Salvador and Mexico. You had the U.S. Open Cup game in there. You're juggling three competitions at the same time. You're playing this, and then you go to the Leagues Cup. I mean, were dudes tired, man? Were you guys just like, it was just a packed schedule? I can't remember any, like, the beginning of any Union season having this many games in that much time.
Yeah, it was certainly quite a bit of games in the front half of the year. Heavy on the competition. So, you know, it was definitely, if you could see in our results early on in the league, it kind of took a toll on us. But, you know, we got back to where we wanted to be, and now we're on the top of the table, you know, on the upward half. So it's pretty good.
So for people who are listening and unaware, there's a break in MLS league play here for a little bit, and all the teams are going to do a new tournament that's called the Leagues Cup, and it's going to be the Liga MX teams, the Mexican sides, coming to the United States to play the MLS sides, and there's going to be a trophy handed out at the end. They've never done this before. Quinn, I don't like, what are your general thoughts on the tournament? I mean, do you like it, or is the break in the MLS play annoying? I mean, do you guys appreciate getting away from it a little bit, or do you see this as kind of like a distraction?
I wouldn't call it annoying at all. I'm actually quite excited for it. I think whenever you have, you know, Mexican teams and MLS teams coming, you know, against each other, it leads to exciting matchups. You know, we've had a little taste of it in the Champions League and, two of the past 3 years, so we know a little bit of what the games are going to take. But, you know, we played the likes of, you know, Club America, and it was an amazing environment. So I think it should be really exciting. I don't mind that, you know, the league's on a bit of a halt because we're still playing games. So, you know, it's exciting. It should be a really, really fun competition and get a lot of fans out to the games that don't get to see necessarily their teams play as much, so. Should be quite exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. I know MLS has taken initiatives to want to do more with Liga MX and kind of make it more of a, you know, instead of like like the two leagues working against each other all the time, let's wrap it up together. You know, let's make it a North American thing. You know, let's kind of like combine the power and the leverage of the two leagues. My only criticism of it, man, is like all the games are played here. So, you know, it's like, isn't it a competitive advantage for you guys to get like Tijuana at home and all the games played in North America versus like, I'm trying to think of the opposite. Like, if you guys had to go down there and play the entire tournament in Mexico, like, that's just a disadvantage. I see. I kind of like,
we'd be pissed. We would be pissed.
Wouldn't we? I mean, if the Eagles had to play all their games in like the entire playoffs in like Kansas City or something.
Yeah. I mean, if the roles are reversed, we wouldn't be too happy about it, but I'm sitting here quite happy that all the games are played at home. You know, if we go all the way to the final, the only way we would travel is if we went to LAFC. So, you know, from a Union standpoint, it's definitely we're happy to play at home. And obviously we've had a pretty decent record at home in the past couple of years. So, you know, I think it sits pretty well for us. Obviously we're not underestimating anyone, but we know what it's going to take, but we love being at home behind our great fans, and they always bring the energy. So it should be really exciting. And I mean, I'm definitely happy that it's at home and not all the next way.
How real is that? Cause I'm thinking about like when you're betting on football and you're like, well, they got to go west or they got to come east. Like, how important is that? Like your own bed around your friends, everything, you're at home. Like, is that really as important as like people are like, well, he's in a hotel room, you know, there could be some distractions, blah, blah, blah. Like, is the going west or the coming east, being home, being away, does that really factor into like players, like mental thoughts going into a game?
Yeah, obviously it's all different. You know, every player is different. People take, you know, different methods for each game. For me personally, I don't mind the travel. I don't mind being in a hotel. It's definitely different not being around, you know. I'm lucky enough to be at home with my family. So it's definitely a different when we're away. But I think, you know, the hotel, being at the hotel is fine. I think we're secluded, so there's no real distractions, and the meals are all, you know, all made for us. So on that side, I think it's kind of fine. Obviously, travel plays a factor. If we were to go all the way west, we'd probably head out a couple of days before just to get used to the time zone and everything like that. But for me personally, I don't think the travel is necessarily a big deal, but I think being at home with the fans is really, really what sets it apart. And I think having that energy that our fans bring, it's such a loud stadium and such a great environment to play in when the fans are behind you. So I think that's definitely a big factor.
Speaking of time, it took me 40 minutes to get out of Subaru Park the other night. It was a sold out game, 2-1 win over NYC. Is that a sign, Quinn, that the Union have arrived, like the Eagles and the, if it takes just as much time and it's just as much of a nightmare to get out of a sold out stadium, can we elevate the Union to the same level as the 4-for-4 teams?
I mean, if you look at success, I'd say, you know, Philadelphia as a whole had an amazing year last year. I'd say, you know, we were just one step off on pretty much every championship we could. So, you know, it definitely, I think we've upped our stake in the Philadelphia sports world. And I think a lot of teams are starting to, a lot of fans and the other teams are starting to, you know, realize that. And I think the fans have always been great, and they've always been, you know, behind us, but it's great now. I mean, the sold out, I'm at the game, you know, however, an hour or so after, and it's still kind of a struggle to get out. So,
And you guys are back. You guys are parked on the backside there near the river, right? So you got to kind of come out through everybody else at the same time.
Too. Yeah. Flower Street can be a nightmare sometimes. But
I have my 4-year-old with me, and like we were just stuck there and we weren't moving. So I just handed her a pad with like some Disney princess games on it or something.
Yeah.
And she did 40 minutes of puzzles while we were trying to sneak out like Highland Avenue or whatever. So we made it work. But I felt like I was at a Phillies game, so I'm like, all right, maybe. But you know, it's funny too, because they put, I hate this, but I love it at the same time. When you guys, the Union lost MLS Cup, the Phillies lost the World Series, the Eagles lost Super Bowl all at the same time, not to bring back any bad memories. But when the ESPN graphic came out, they put the Union on there too. And like, did you guys see that? And were you annoyed that the failure was shared? Or were you like, okay, well, at least they consider, you know, at least we're like being considered in the same echelon as the other big teams here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't want your failures to be publicized necessarily, but it is a good thing to be you know, to be in the conversation with the historically bigger teams in the city. But yeah, I mean, it's the MLS Cup was a rough one, you know, heartbreaking for sure. And then to be watching the World Series and the Super Bowl just a couple months later is kind of, it's like, people were calling us the best chokers in the country. kind of sucked, but you know, overall,
that's what we've grown up with.
It was quite successful. So,
are you 4-for-4? I know you're a Philly guy, obviously. Are you 4-for-4, or do you more like Eagles, Phils, or Flyers, or Sixers? Like, do you have a number one, or what are you?
it doesn't really matter to me, to be honest with you. I support all the Philly sports when I can. I try and watch when I can and get to some games as well. But I don't necessarily have a favorite.
Who's ever doing well? That's not a bad way to attack it.
But I love how like Gajdog and all these guys come over here and I see them at like the Sixers games, you know, or whatever. Yeah. And it's like
the Hungarian Harden. Come on now.
The Hungarian Harden. Yes, that's right. I wish that nickname would catch on a little bit more. To be quite honest, because we did the Medford Messi thing with Brendan. We were trying to get the Morgantown murder sacker to kind of catch on a little bit with Jack Elliott. I'm not sure. Ask him, by the way, after this, ask him if he's aware of that nickname, because I kind of like that one.
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, well, because he went to West Virginia. He was in college in Morgantown, and he's like 7 feet tall, and he looks like Pirate murder sacker. So that was we, the media, tried to push that one.
I need to tell Daniel to bring back the basketball celebration and get the nickname going again.
Are you the Fishtown anything? The Fishtown Fernando Alonso, Fishtown Fernando Torres? Like, what are you?
I don't know. I don't have a nickname.
That's true. You can't give yourself a nickname. That would have to be done by us.
Somebody else would have to give it to you. Yeah, but I appreciate how they jump into it. I mean, like, it's cool to see them. I remember when the Eagles went to or they won the NFC Championship game. Like, I see Glesnes just, like, on his IG. He's like – casually just walking around Broad Street and like a gosh dog just walking around hanging out. I think Uwe was down there too, but I always appreciate that because you guys are just like normal guys, you know, and just it's cool to see them come in and like, you know, you got a lot of, you know, people who just like American sports and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have bought into the Philly sports, you know, mentality and they love all of it. So it is great to see for sure. And especially because we're having success. So, you know, when the teams are having success, it makes it a lot easier to go out and enjoy it.
Yeah. Quinn, let me ask you one or two about some more like X's and O's, like more in-depth kind of stuff. It's funny because Kyle introduced you as a midfielder. I think you're I don't know if you're a midfielder or a forward or a winger. Like, I've watched you the last couple of years, and I think you have qualities that are kind of like some qualities of all those positions, you know? And, you know, I know you guys are playing two forwards, and Jim's been using you as a striker this year. You had the start, you know, got the assist on Saturday night playing as a striker. Obviously, you guys playing 3-5-2 or playing in the diamond. There are no wingers on the field anyway. But I don't know. Do you feel like you are one position or another position, or do you have a preferred place that you would put yourself in?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we've experimented quite a bit this season. We've played in the diamond, which we were successful with last year. We've tried the 3-5-2, and we've even, you know, mid game switched to 4-2-3-1. And I think I've had a fair share of the winger spot, like the winger time in the 4-2-3-1 when we're losing games. Obviously this year it's been a lot of, you know, playing up top, and I think, you know, I've definitely improved in the positioning and as a position as a whole. I think I've improved at striker. I think of myself as a midfielder, but, you know, I'm happy to be getting minutes, and I'm happy that, you know, to be able to get two starts in a row was really important for me to keep, you know, to get the flow going. And I think there were two decent performances as well. So, you know, I think I'm definitely learning the striker role, and I think I've had a good understanding for it now. But I definitely think of myself as a midfielder that, you know, I pride myself on my fitness as well. And I think being a box-to-box midfielder is kind of, you know, as one of my qualities is fitness. So I think that highlights that, as well as I'm able to get into the box. And I think finishing and shooting is kind of one of my better aspects as well. So I think that kind of more encompasses my position as a whole, but I'm excited to be playing and to be helping the team, you know, get minutes. And obviously getting the assist this past weekend was really important for me. And, you know, I was really happy to get that and help the team onto a win. So it was great.
Well, it's interesting to think about too. I mean, there's caveats to all this stuff. I mean, you know, when you play a position, when you play like a formation like the diamond, I mean, okay, so you got a D mid, you got Jose playing D mid, and then you got two shuttlers, and then you got two forwards. I mean, really, there's only one spot. You know, Daniel Gajdog has that spot locked down. So like an example of like, you know, Paxton, you know, that's probably his preferred role to play like as a 10 in that too. And maybe there's just a little bit of a log jam there. So you try to find, you try to get people on the field and try to put them in spots that they're at least comfortable with. But I guess it's just a product of circumstance, right? I mean, like you take what's available and, you know, you're just kind of happy to get those minutes on the field wherever you can find them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, minutes are super important in playing, and playing helps you, you know, get used to where you're at. And I think, you know, right now I'm happy to be playing. I'm happy to be, you know, I'd love to be starting for sure. Everyone wants to be starting. That's not a secret, but I'm happy to be getting minutes this season and more than I have last season. And that's now I got to, you know, my next goal kind of is to start putting the ball in the back of the net. And obviously the assist is important, but, you know, goal contributions is something that, you know, keeps you on the field. So definitely that's something that I need to get going as well. But I think the assist is a good start for sure.
I keep forgetting that you're 19 years old. It's wild. Being a 19-year-old professional athlete, but I feel like that's kind of normal in the MLS, where it's not as normal in like sports like football, obviously, and well, sometimes baseball, but not really, more just NBA and the MLS. Do like you being 19, like, does that get in the way of like you and the guys hanging out on the road and stuff? Like, do they invite you out to the team dinners and everything? I hope so. Like, you're 19 years old, but like that shouldn't hold it against you. You're still allowed to have a Coke. You're still allowed to have, you know, some water and whatnot. How the dinners on the road like as being a 19-year-old?
I mean, so typically we head out the day before the game. So dinners are usually, you know, team in the hotel. We don't really go out, you know, obviously. And then we head home right after the game that night. So there's not too much time to go out. But, yeah, I mean, being 19, I'm definitely not going out to the bars with them. If after you know, a win or something, if we're stuck in that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we all get along really well. We're all really close friends and close team. So, you know, last trip, my roommate was Jack Elliott, and I went out and, you know, they had coffee. So I went out to coffee with, you know, a bunch of the older guys. So, you know, we're definitely a unit, definitely a team. But, yeah, I don't think that being 19 has affected it all that much, except for when, you know, they go out and I'm stuck in the hotel.
Yeah, listen, win the MLS Cup, the bouncers at Magellan's will turn a blind eye. You don't have to agree. I'll just say it.
I think the culture has changed a little bit too, Peg. And I remember being in like Montreal and Toronto in like 2012 and 2013 and seeing Union guys kind of stumbling down the main drag during you know, not so
police there.
Interesting times, you know, but yeah.
That's the only time we can really go out, because customs closes in early in Canada. So that's when we're stuck. We're stuck there after the game. So that's probably the one time that the guys might go out.
That is interesting. Yeah.
I drove up to – yeah, me and my dad drove up to – here, quick story. We went up to the Philadelphia Union versus Toronto in like 2012. I was driving a crappy beat-up pickup truck at the time. It was a Ford Ranger. And I remember I had just gotten the tires changed, but I was super cheap, so I didn't want to pay to have the company dispose of the tires for me. So I just kept the tires in the back of my truck for some reason. I don't know why. It must have been – saved me like $15 or whatever. So we go up to – we get to the Canadian border, and I drive this truck 8 hours, and there's tires in the back of the truck. And like the Mounties or whatever, or the people at the Canadian border went around to the truck, and they're like, "Hey, why you got these tires in the back here?" You know, and they went and inspected the tires because they thought I was, I don't know, like smuggling drugs into like Ontario or something like that. But I always, our trips to Canada were very interesting. I don't know, Quinn, is there a specific town you guys like going to, or is there like one trip that's more favorable than the others, or one that's like a pain in the ass that you don't like going to?
It's interesting. So me and a bunch of the young guys, we love going to the shoe stores, because we all like sneakers. So we love looking for shoe stores wherever we go. Atlanta is great for that. There's a nice little place. So, but LA is obviously pretty cool, but you know, in the past, we haven't had great results there. So that's kind of makes that one kind of sting a little bit when we go back there. But Portland was pretty crappy. It was kind of just like nothing. So I'd say really? That was one of the – I didn't love Portland, if I'm being honest with you. It looks great from up above when I was looking out the airplane window. Yeah. Well, once we got to the city, there was kind of nothing there.
No, I'm not. That's why Damian Lillard wants out.
Yeah, for sure. He should come. He should come to the Sixers.
I mean, could you imagine playing in Portland for your whole career? My God, you'd be requesting a trade by 20.
Numbers like that. Like, come on now.
I don't know. I'm kind of surprised to hear that. I mean, I've never been to Portland, but I guess my thought was that it was always kind of like a hip, like
rainy, cloudy, cold all the time. I could never do it.
We've only been there once, but maybe it was just a bad week. But yeah, I wasn't loving that one.
Quinn, we'll send this to the Timbers fans. You were very correct on your thought process of Portland. Where's your favorite shoe store in Philly?
Really? Well, I got to say, I haven't really been to too many, but I love Lapstone and Hammer. Obviously, we have a connection with them. Great guys. Obviously, you know, we had the collab, which was pretty cool. So I got a bunch of the sweatshirts that they came out with because they were sick. So I love going in there. I think they have a good little, you know, mix between shoes and, shoes and some gear as well. So I'd probably say that's my favorite so far, but I definitely got to hit some more. I haven't been to enough.
Yeah, check out Suplex Sneakers on South Street. I think it's like
I think they closed down.
Okay, don't check them out anymore. Right now on Google,
literally yesterday I was in the city and I saw them. I followed them on Instagram.
Yeah,
right?
They're great.
And I was like, oh, this place looks cool. And I went there and I looked on. I was on Google Maps. I was like, it says you said I arrived.
Right there.
It said I arrived. And I looked, and it was like next to one with the red on it. And I was like, "Dude, it says for rent, and it's got bars up." I was like, "Dude, there's no way."
It's probably some like weird speakeasy chew place that like South Street hipsters like don't understand because we're just regular normal people. But the South Street hipsters are probably like, "You just got to go in the back door or something."
I really wanted to go in there, but it looked completely closed down.
Yeah. Oh.
Quinn, do you guys what do you think of Jim's fashion sense? Because he's in his 40s, but he has this amazing sneaker connection, and he's always like has these great like get-ups on the sideline. I mean, do you guys think it's cool, or is he like too old for that?
I mean, I got a question for you guys first. Do you guys like suit gym, or do you guys like the union gear gym more?
Casual gym. Casual gym, man.
I remember watching, and he was always suited up. And then
he did wear the suit for a long time in the beginning.
Yeah, and now he's got the casual gear. Some of the shoes are fire, especially the off-white ones that he wore. Those ones are sick. They're definitely in the grail for me. So I gotta pick those up at some point. But
it's funny because you wear it's like
pricey right now.
But it's like any other job, man. It's like you wear the suit for a little bit when you start out, and then you kind of feel your way into it. It's like, okay, like I've been here for a little bit, and then you start wearing jeans, and then you kind of like one thing at a time. No, I think Jim's attire is great, man. I think it's like my least favorite in all the sports is when the baseball managers wear the baseball.
But they got the full get up on.
Can you imagine Jim Curtin coming out in the short shorts and shin guards?
Being a full kit wanker and doing the thing on the side. Yeah. Well, that would be interesting, you know. Yeah, it was just funny because like he always like, you know, all the young kids seem to appreciate Jim's outfits. He may actually be the best dressed person on the entire in the entire roster. You know, if you just put it, if you considered him to be a player, like his.
So. I mean, I beg to differ, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm definitely backing myself, but.
Yeah, it's funny, man, because I don't. Your family, right? You come from a family where everybody played soccer, and was it your grandfather who coached Jim?
My grandfather, he coached for a bunch of years, high school, college. He coached at Villanova for plenty of years, and that's where he coached Jim in college at Villanova. But he's coached a lot of people. He coached Father Judge. He coached Villanova. Coached Camden Catholic. Like he's definitely coached quite a few teams and a lot of people a lot of people know my grandpa, which is funny. So
is it weird to come from a family that has a pedigree in a certain sport? I mean, do you feel like that gives you any pressure or like? Yeah, you have to aspire to be like what they were, or is it not like that at all?
I wouldn't say that. I'd say my family, especially mom and dad, have been really great about, you know, they let us explore. They definitely pushed us in everything that we were doing. So we played, I played baseball and soccer growing up. They definitely pushed us to be the best we could be in those sports. It's because if you're committing to do something, you're going to do it to the best of your ability. But it wasn't like, you know, you're going to play soccer because you come from a soccer family.
They didn't like push you into it or like,
no,
like
we're going to put you into it. See, like they put us into it. I started when I was like 3 or 4 and then, you know, obviously built into it and found the love for it. But yeah, I think having a soccer family has really been helpful for me because I have a coach at home. You know what I mean? Like my dad played, he played at Columbia and Penn and then played professionally for a couple of years. And my mom played at Penn for 4 years. So I come from a, you know, even within my own household, there's two people that I can look to for advice and coaching. And my dad especially has a very critical eye for the game, whether it's mechanics, whether it's technique, tactics. I think he's been really helpful that I can go home after a game and we can look at the film together. We can study games. Like we grew up watching the Premier League and it's, you should be watching this player. You should be watching this player for all my brothers. Cause we're all different styles of players. And I think that, you know, it's great to have him and it's great to have my mom because it's not like when you're at work, you have your coaches, but when you go home, you have that extra layer of individuality that, you know, he has my best interest in mind. And I know that. And I think I really appreciated that because I don't think I'd be where I was without both of them and my brothers as well. So my younger brothers all play. I have 3 younger brothers, Declan, Ronan, Kevin, in that age order. They all play and I wouldn't be where I was if it wasn't for them helping me out, especially in the off seasons.
Is Kevin's in the academy right now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's in the U15s. Their season's over now, but he played for the U15s and he had an amazing year for sure.
Hey Quinn, what Premier League players did your dad tell you to watch?
So early on, it was kind of like David Silva. What for me was a really, I loved the way he played. I mean,
yeah, it's a good comp. Yeah.
Yeah, and then for like Kevin, it was like Alexis Sanchez when he was at Arsenal. Just like Kevin's style is more fits that than it does me. But you know, everyone had players, and we always watch games. So
yeah, but that's actually really interesting because I think of those guys kind of as tweeners, also kind of like withdrawn forward, second striker, attacking midfielder, kind of like something in between there. So I think those are good comps. Yeah, I mean those are. Well, I mean, they're great players, you know, so loved watching them. Yeah. Yeah. I was a defender. So I watched all the, you know, hard nosed guys. I don't think I scored any goals in high school, but that was like the pinnacle for me. So, yeah.
Speaking of, you know, international players, what are you going to be like when, like, I don't know, when I guess you're going to face off against Messi at one point, and it's kind of crazy what, you know, is going to happen in MLS right now. You see all the ticket resale prices, you see them sell out the Inter, or I think they sold out the Hard Rock. I mean, it was insane and pouring rain to introduce them.
It was like 110. You're talking about that server, it was like $110,000, like a Miami ticket. Did you guys see that, Quinn? Like some of the resale values were going, these tickets were going for like $100,000.
No way. I didn't see that. I saw early on when he like, kind of got announced, but not really got announced. Like it was like, it was, tickets were like minimum $800 for resale and up to like $8,000 or something.
Well, there was guys when you guys played Miami at home like a couple weeks ago, obviously before Messi even got there.
Yeah.
And people were selling the tickets, were reselling their tickets on like StubHub for like 500% markup, even when he wasn't playing. Cause I guess people didn't know.
It's funny because some of the games we're able to get, like as players, we're able to get extra tickets if we need it. And obviously I have a huge family. So like everyone loves to come to the games and they obviously all knew that, you know, Messi wasn't going to be here, but they were like, yeah, tickets are difficult to come by. So, you know, you guys have your limit. Like people think Messi's going to be here still.
That's crazy, man. I just can't imagine. Yeah, because I talked to season ticket holders who were like, yeah, I made like $400 off of reselling my tickets to a game that Messi didn't even show up to.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even fathom that, you know, but it's good for the league, man. I mean, yeah, you were just a kid when Beckham came over here, but it's like you get these big signings that kind of just herald in, like, you know, a new era.
My cousin played with Beckham at LA Galaxy, Chris Albright. I mean, having him as a connection too is awesome. You talk about resources. He's another one where it's like, man, he knows what it takes. He played in the Olympics. He was on a World Cup roster, like, and had a great career. So that's another guy that I look up to and enjoy talking to. And, you know, he's having a, you know, great success right now with Cincy. So even though we're on the chase, but
Cincy brought in a bunch of Philly guys, and now they're top of the table.
Shocker. I got one more for you, Quinn. I don't know how much you watch the Phillies or follow them anyway, but like right now there's this guy batting leadoff named Kyle Schwarber.
Schwarbaum.
You understand.
Hoagie Fest. Come on now.
Hoagie Fest. Yeah. Okay. Good. I'm good. It's made its way over. He's hitting under 200, but you know, he absolutely mashes bombs. Mm-hmm. And he's also a clubhouse leader, and he's just like an absolute dog. So like we always talk on this show about like, yeah, maybe he's hitting under 200, but the guys love him. And when he does something, it propels the team to like get fired up, and maybe, you know, they do something. It's the probably the most hot button issue right now in Philadelphia about him batting leadoff. Like, people hate it. Old school people hate it. New school people don't mind it. But like, I kind of wanted to revert it back to like the union in a way, like, because you can't measure dog. And I look at like Jose Martinez a little bit, like absolute dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jose ain't going to put up, you know, 20 goals a year, 20 assists a year, but he's going to fire you up when he attacks some dude and takes the ball away from him. Like, you're a young kid right now. You're an impressionable kid. Like, you see that stuff. Does that kind of stuff on the sidelines, on the guys, like, does that fire you guys up? And, like, what does it kind of, like, mean for a team to just have a guy, like, do that kind of stuff that doesn't show up on the stat sheet?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember. I can't remember if it was his first game, and I wasn't on the team yet. But when he slid, tackled someone, and, like, got kicked in the face, and his nose is bleeding, and he had the blonde afro, like he had the whole thing going, and that was like one of his first games, and I was like, I like this kid, you know, like, and now obviously I'm playing with him, and yeah, it's kind of similar, you know, it doesn't necessarily show up on the stat sheet, but obviously this season he's bagged two, and I thank him for banging that one the other night because it got me my stat, you know. But
was he aware that everybody in the media and the fan base would kind of roll our eyes every time he took like a 40-yard shot because they would go into the river end? But then
we
like
let him hear it for sure. So whether the media was rolling their eyes or not, we were definitely rolling our eyes at him for sure. Like, come on, Jose, what are you doing? And then after he scored, we were all like, okay, Jose, you don't need to shoot every time now.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, like, because then he turns into Glesnes, right? And every time he picks up the ball at midfield, he's got the river end calling for him to shoot. Yeah. So, it's now we're all Flyers fans with Jake Voracek crossing the blue line here. But no, I always appreciated that. I always say, you know, I'm talking about the union, like, you know, a lot of the qualities that people are looking for in like the Flyers and the Sixers and the Eagles, Philadelphia qualities, man. I mean, how many cliches can I throw out there? Blue collar, hardworking grinder, whatever the fuck, you know, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, that's what this union team has been for the last couple of years. I mean, the style that you play and the shape that you play, and you got guys like Brujo and Jacob, you know, throwing in tackles, Kai as well. So I always appreciated that about the way that Jim, you know, has coached you guys.
Yeah, I get stuck in every once in a while, man.
Ali, what's up? Yeah, well, no, I mean, he's the blue-collar captain grinder of the union, sticking his head in there too. Alejandro Bedoya, who then disappears.
That's my captain right there.
Yeah, Alejandro Bedoya making a cameo here. But no, I mean, I there's no question there, I don't think. I just say, you know, it's good to see you guys finding success and doing well and all of that. So continued success, man. And we appreciate you coming on the show for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. You know, it's great to be on here, and can't wait.
No problem. We'll get Ollie next time, and we'll do a full interview with him so he doesn't have to just stick his head in for 5 minutes.
That scared the shit out of me. I was looking to the left, and I was like, what the hell just happened? Oh my God. Awesome, man. All right.